This is a production of Cornell University. This is a production of Cornell University.
Hi, Carrie. I'm very backlit, but that's all right. All right. At 12:16, I'll call this meeting of the employee assembly to order. Were there any other late additions to the agenda? I didn't see anything from anyone. Okay. Perfect. So moving on to approval of the minutes. The minutes from last week are attached. Any other questions, additions, revisions? All right, seeing none, can I see a motion to approve the minutes? Thanks, Kevin. I'm going to move to approve that by unanimous consent. Is there any objection to approving by unanimous consent? Okay, seeing none, so we've approved the minutes from our September 21st meeting. All right, so today we've had a lot of visitors and things, so I wanted to make today a little bit of a working meeting to catch up on some of our business. So catching up on the president's address, our fall elections, and just some of the committees that we've had, and allowing some time for folks to do work on those committees. And also, business of the day is the adoption of the standing rules. This is what we tabled from last week, so that'll take up approving our standing rules, something I do want to finish by the end of the day today. Beth McKinney is going to provide a care fund update, but she is teaching until 1, so she'll be here a little after 1, around 1:15. So moving on to our standing committees, the first I have here is from Pilar, or Internal Ops. Are there any updates for that? And I think we have our UA.
We have the members that we are wanting to confirm for the UA. That would be for the CWC, the Campus Welfare Committee, the CJC for the Campus Judicial Committee, and the CIC, the Campus Infrastructure Committee. So we have seated everyone from the U. QA along with the EAs, and we as a whole just have to confirm these individuals, correct, EJ?
Yes. So again, if you remember a few meetings back, one of our early ones, we assigned everyone to committees. We also solicited folks to serve on the university assembly committees. So we've found employees to fill our obligations to the university assembly committees, and we just have to officially approve those things. So that's what we'll be doing now. I always will say to the new members, if you're ever like, I have no idea what this is, feel free to stop me and just be like, I need to know what that is as well. So again, we have appointments of staff members to the university assembly and the committees that we help staff there. Those have to be officially appointed and voted on by this body. So do you want to say who they are?
Yeah, I'm trying to pull it up. Brian, do you have that handy one?
So the thing I will say about shared governance is that we do a lot of things, but we don't always have to have the formal approval process, and so that's what's happening now. We found folks, just have to put that official stamp and seal on it. So, hi, Linda.
CJ's the Kathy's donor.
Yep. Did everyone hear that? Kathy's donor for the CJC Campus Judicial Committee?
That's codes and judicial. Yep. So the codes and judicial committee, I have to enunciate a lot better. Again, works on campus code and matters of campus code, and other campus judicial policies there too. So.
If I could elaborate a little bit.
Yes.
The CJC, the codes and judicial committee, takes a look at any changes to the campus code of conduct, and it looks like this year there probably will be some extensive revisions suggested to the code. So that would be the committee to review those with the JA and the JCC, the Judicial Codes Counselor and the Judicial Administrator, to present them to the University Assembly, which would be the body to either approve or send them back to the committee. So it has to do with pretty much the Campus Code of Conduct.
And the IC is Joey Gaze.
And that's the Campus Infrastructure Committee, so working with transportation, campus planning,
Sustainability
is a big one this year as well, too. And so Joey was an appointment as a staff member last year as well, too. So we're just reappointing Joey to that committee.
As
was Kathy. That's correct.
Linda Cotman. So Linda Cotman from the CWC.
And the CWC is the Campus Welfare Committee. I know we're swimming with letters. Welcome to Cornell. But the Campus Welfare Committee, again, relatively self-explanatory. So things like benefits, student campus welfare,
smoking
initiative, those kinds of things. So anything that has to do with wellness and people's well-being here in our community.
And Linda Cotman was the member that we, as an EA, voted to put on the UA. So she sits in the UA for us as an employee representative.
Yep. And are those the last appointments?
That's it.
Okay. Can we move to approve those all by just one unanimous block, just approving that block? All right. So, can someone please make that motion?
I motion to confirm the appointment to the UA committee.
Is there a second? Okay. I would also. Can I move to do this by unanimous consent? Our parliamentarian. Yeah. So I will just move to approve this by unanimous consent. The slate of appointments. Is there any objection to that? Hooray, governance. So we've officially approved those appointments for staff members. The one addition I had to internal ops and the UA appointments is that this morning, assembly leadership did meet with the new judicial administrator, Michelle Horvath. And so, again, a great discussion. She started in June. And so from her time here, one of the big things she did mention at this meeting was just reviewing the campus code of conduct. Our understanding is that it hasn't been reviewed since it was created, which I think is, so I know I'm seeing your face of surprise was also my face of surprise when I heard that. Does anyone know when the Campus Code of Conduct was originally created? Okay. Gina will look for that information. But yeah, it's been a long time since the campus has, the code of conduct has been revised, and I think that's what they're really looking at this year. It's a campus code of conduct that covers all the constituent groups on campus, so staff, faculty, students, kind of holding everyone to that one code of conduct. And I think in theory that sounds really great, being one community, but in practice, I think Michelle had mentioned that like 90% of the cases that she sees are students. So what does that mean in terms of its efficacy, in terms of practice? Is there a better way to look at how we implement a campus code of conduct across the whole campus and what that looks like? So yeah.
2008.
So it's been a little bit of time since. And my understanding too, was that an overhaul or was that just like small revisions to it?
That was the last time the changes were substantial enough to be approved by the trustees.
Okay.
All right.
So I think I really like Michelle's line of thinking in that we've made a lot of incremental changes and small tweaks here and there, but she wants to look at it as a comprehensive thing and not necessarily reimagine, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but just let's take a comprehensive look at the code of conduct rather than just making tweaks here and there. So, okay. Any other internal operations things,
no.
Updates? Cool. So let's move on to elections committee. So we have an update from our fall elections. We had one staff member run for one of the seats in hotel, and pulling up that information, we're losing Carrie. And so that person, I haven't personally notified this person yet, so I will do that before announcing it on public record here. But we will approve that person. That person will join us as the hotel school representative. We didn't have any other candidates run for AAP or the engineering, so no one came forth for those seats. So at this time, as the elections committee chair, I'm going to say that we'll just close those elections and we'll just move forward for the rest of this term. If we do have interested parties that want to run for those seats, we'll address that at that time. But my opinion as chair is that we can't keep waiting to run more elections for those seats. So as chair, I've decided we'll close those elections for now and we'll announce this candidate kind of moving forward. Questions about that?
If someone comes forward, will we use just our
We'll use the regular process to appoint and fill those seats. I think, to me, that's just a better. I think we can't keep holding elections for that one seat.
No,
yep.
Okay.
Sure. So we can, yeah. If you have candidates that are interested in kind of serving for those seats, let me know. But I think, yeah, at this point, we just have to close an election and kind of move forward with the other things that we need to do as a group. Any other questions about the fall election? Okay, so the one item of business I did want to bring up then from our committee is just feedback on our terms process. So offering this up here. So as a, I'll keep providing some more background. As an election committee, when we restructured, everyone has the same amount of terms. So we're all serving 2-year terms as stated by our charter. And one of the things that the elections committee is looking to do is making sure that we can stagger our terms so that the entire GA does not just turn over at once at the end of 2 years. So the proposal I had sent out about a month ago, that thank you for those that were able to read it and comments to it, identified our 3 different groups of seats. So we have, again, folks based on the academic colleges. We have folks based in HR staff units, and then groups based on affinities. And so in each of those 3 columns, taking half of those seats and extending those seats to a 3-year term for just this cycle, and then that would start then the 2-year cycle of terms. And that'll make more sense once I bring that up.
Thank you.
on my computer here. So the way I selected who would be extended to a three-year term and who would not, I'll be frank. We just let me pull up the seats here. I put the three groups in, just kind of split them in half, and then making sure that for like the academic colleges in units, not doing like all the endowed units and all the contract colleges. So kind of dividing those up with the HR units, looking a little bit at size of units, so it's not like all the small sizes and all the large sizes. I didn't really know if there was another way to kind of look at HR units. And then with the affinity groups, just kind of splitting them in half, so going every other on our list there too. So let me give you the talk here. Correct. So we have the seats for like, no worries. Yeah, there's not, I can't find a better term, like staff units. Is that a better term? Non-academic units. So let me go over which is which there. Sorry, folks, I thought I would have it just on the screen so I didn't print anything out. All right, so the academic colleges and units, again, there's an arts and sciences representative, an engineering representative, an AAP representative, a hotel representative, ILR, ag, human ecology, the graduate school, the law school, and the Johnson School of Business, and the College of Veterinary Medicine. So those are the academic colleges and schools. And the ones out of those that we would extend to three-year terms would be the Arts and Science Representative, the AAP Representative, the ILR Representative, the Human Ecology Representative, and the College of Veterinary Medicine Representative. So again, trying to make sure that half of the three-year terms were contract colleges and endowed schools, and just making sure that it wasn't all endowed being replaced and all contract colleges being replaced. Again, this would be better if we could see it as a visual, but we'll go on to the next one here. For the staff units, we have Alumni Affairs and Development, Student Campus Life now, Health and Safety, University Relations, Human Resources, Library and Museum, Facilities, Research and the Tech Representative, Financial Affairs, Geneva, and our Administration Representative. So out of those seats, the one that would be extended to 3 years would be the Campus Life, University Relations, Library and Museum, Research and Tech, and Geneva. And then finally, out of the affinity groups, all the seats together are the International Representative, Diversity Representative, Women's Representative, LGBTQ Representative, Veterans, less than 5 years, exempt, and then non-exempt. And then out of those seats, what we would extend to three-year terms would be international, women's, veterans, and exempt. So I realize I just talked a lot, and I want to just acknowledge that as we look through those things, too. So hearing that initial staggering of terms, I guess I'll first open to see what questions do we have about what this process would look like. Correct.
So then once it's staggered, will they become 2 years?
Correct. So it would just be the initial 3 years to help offset, and then everyone would revert to just two-year terms following that. And that would just kind of start that offsetting of that cycle. Tanya.
So the people currently seated in those seats would remain for a year?
Correct.
Was changed last year to accommodate this, and I believe there was an expression of to be staggered in the future. It really is incumbent on that, how the assembly decides to stagger them and what that term might be. So there is some flexibility. I don't think it's necessarily
So, let's see, it's 20, this is a good logistical thing.
So the three-year term is 20.
Correct. So, one, yeah, one, two, three.
So you've done, we'll have a question at 19, one will be back in 2 years.
Yep, that's correct. Other questions about that? Yes?
I have a quick question. You know, I'm sure all of us are kind of saying the job you're in now is the best, but what happens if nobody actually changes position within the university and all of a sudden, somebody says you're a women's representative, you're still a woman, whether you work at your college or something else, but I'm the library museum rep, or if I start working for another entity on campus, I'm no longer part of that community, and I'm still have history with it.
So, from my own knowledge, that's not explicitly stated in our eligibility. We intentionally, when we first did this, didn't want to say, like, only X can be in these seats. Just because, again, we're trying something new, we want to leave that relatively open. But as that is something I would consider in there, too, because, I think for me personally, I always just want folks to advocate for themselves, not necessarily for someone to have to advocate for them. I guess I can relook at what that would look like in terms of like eligibility and what that looks like, and I'll get an answer for you afterwards as well too.
I'm a little curious about the College of Business. So is that going to be its own, representation? Will that be another person added, or will it be the hotel school? Well, Dyson's part of CALS, right? So is CALS. Or are those representatives just going to be collectively also?
Yep. I will say one of my goals as well in this is to write in something in what we change in that the seat and the seat allocations are reviewed on a regular basis, so we don't go through what we did before where it's we just kind of wait until something prompts us to change it. It's we know every, maybe it's like 8 years. I don't know what the number is, but it's written in that the seats are reviewed, because I think that's what happened in this initial go-around, is that when we finally put out the seats, we had groups of folks come and say, oh, well, there are this many staff members. Why aren't we represented in some way, shape, or form? And so I think that'll help us kind of understand that process as well. Yeah. Tanya.
So I think if I could make a recommendation to that.
Sure.
Body or whomever the body is reviewed and says, is that seat still an appropriate seat to have? And that's the time to make the change when it's up for renewal. And then anything that we don't have covered somewhere, I think that comes up in any election season. So, like Liz, to the point that you brought up, CIT is this a really big unit and maybe they need representation at the table. When we're getting ready for elections, that might be the time to say, hey, do we need another seat?
Okay.
It's a thought.
Yeah. I write that down, so that's a good suggestion. My one concern would just be thinking, if that happens every 2 years then with the seats, is that too quick of a time to change over the makeup and just kind of putting that frame around it? But I like the thought of that as well, because that's a natural turnover for the seat in general. Yes? No. Valid question. So we do have mechanisms in our bylaws now to fill in appointments. So if there is a vacancy, there's an appointment and kind of like an internal election process. That's how I started. I filled a vacant seat on the EA. So for those of you that don't know, many of you know this story. I came because someone invited me to lunch. It turns out the lunch was an EA meeting, and then all of a sudden I found myself on the EA. So there is a way to fill open seats and vacancies. Those of you that know me, if you need me to do work for you, just give me food and magically I'll be involved. So, so there is, that's still within our bylaws, is the way to fill incidental or accidental vacancies. So that's possible. Good question. Other questions? Okay, so I'll take those back and I'll write this actually into a specific resolution then, with some chart changes, and I'll come up with the turnovers, things that Tanya mentioned too, but thank you for those. Okay, so that's all I had from Elections Committee. Kind of moving down, so communications. Liz, do you have any updates for communications?
Our only update is that we now have regularly scheduled meetings.
Okay.
And we started an editorial calendar for the EA updates, which I'll go over with my committee the next time we meet, or maybe today. So we do want to start doing, because the EA newsletter always has a profile, and we thought, since the people who are affinity group CETAs, which is diversity or veterans, we would do profiles on those members as a way to let those constituent groups know that this is so, since you don't have a list of people you could introduce yourself to. So at some point we'll be reaching out to all of you to do a little member profile.
The veterans group does actually have a list of active veterans that have self-identified, so there's a way to reach out for us.
Other questions for Liz?
That's it. That's it on that. If there are any questions, I guess that's what you said.
No worries. Okay. Thank you, Liz. Matt, Personnel Policy Committee. Any updates? Questions?
We have a meeting next week.
Okay.
That's the update.
Okay. And I have any other questions for Matt in the Personnel Policy Chair, I guess is what your title is. Okay. Education Committee, so I have Tunde is here. Any updates for us? Questions at all for Tunde and the Education Committee? I feel like we're here.
One thing I'd like to bring up is the Education Committee also covers children's tuition and scholarship benefits for staff. The FAFSA date has changed. It's open now in October. It used to be open in January. So that could be communicated via the Education Committee so that they are done with the FAFSA so that they can do their
Cornell wants you to do your FAFSA in October?
It's open in October. It's not closed until March. It's just open earlier this year. And there's some different things that go along with it. Now you can, and it's, instead of being projected tax income, it's 2015 tax income, so it's taxes that you already know that you're done with. So they made some changes to it that should be put out.
Yeah, because people rambling to do it in January.
Right.
And you know those deadlines.
And projecting your income and your taxes aren't done. So now they got their heads together and fixed it.
So two taxes in a row will be on their 2015.
Correct. That's correct. And now you can electronically link, so you don't have to fill in all the little X's. Things like that.
I have a solutional question or clarifying question off of your comments. When we need to communicate things, is that the committee, is that education to do it, or is that Liz's, the communications committee?
It can go either way, but it's just because education committee is in charge of educational benefits for employees, whether it be their education or their kids' education. They could get together on that.
Yeah.
I think that it's each committee's responsibility.
No,
and I will do whole EA, communication.
Would it make sense? Oh, no worries. So, Tanya and then Jeremy, but I would say I think it'd be helpful. Yeah, committees are welcome to send things out to the rest of the group, but if you want to send something to to campus and things, send them to Liz because she has that calendar of stuff as well, too. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I stole the words right out of your mouth.
I'm also willing to help wordsmith.
Yeah. Other questions for Tunde in education? Okay. Staff recognition and awards. Tanya.
We, the committee, have Matt and
Can you?
Can you
talk? So for the new folks, can you talk a little about what this award is and how it's awarded?
So this is the longest-standing employee recognition award that we have at the university. It was renamed for George Peter in the late 80s, early 90s, I believe. But it's for dedicated service to employees. It's going above and beyond. It's a peer-nominated award, so it doesn't have to be a supervisor. It could be a colleague. So we do ask the supervisor to provide feedback and say, yes, I agree that this person is deserving of the award. We typically give up to 4 a year.
And there's also one slip
on the website. So they can see all of the criteria.
Is that the only award you do?
We do that, and we do the Opperman Award for staff advocacy. And that is, again, another peer nominated award for someone who goes above and beyond in supporting their staff.
And the kudos from the university.
And then the kudos.
Because, you know, I was confused with the, the HR awards.
And Ulysses just shared with me that Cheryl McGraw has taken over all of the High Five program awards, and she's trying to pull a meeting together of kind of all of these types of awards so then we can get on the same page. Making sure people know what belongs to who and how many nominations.
I would say that's an overarching thing, I think, for all of us as we work on things. It's as you hear of departments doing things, how can we partner with them? So these are joint efforts, and we're not necessarily doing the exact same thing as someone else. We're creating our own spaces for things, but also working with other departments as well, too. Michelle?
Along with that committee, we actually weren't the committee that was responsible for the award that was given out at the presidential address. That was an EA award, and we kind of got over that with our new set up for this year. So it's something to be thinking of for next year's presidential address. They usually pick a large unit of the university to recognize at the presidential award.
Cool.
So, I know that kind of came.
We didn't want to, I think, at this late in the game, because it was something that the EA selects, not necessarily just that committee. I don't think we wanted to just pull something together and give out an award just at the last moment. So we're just going to keep it as the address. So.
Last year it was Cornell CUPD.
Correct.
Yeah. Can we have that somewhere in our calendar to discuss, like, two meetings at least before the presidential address? Maybe two, three meetings. Something to bring up, then vote on the next.
I'm going to go Liz and then Gina.
Who makes the recommendation for the award? Is it just the EA? So it's only us. We make the recommendation and then we vote.
Right. So historically, we've groups that have had some sort of high visibility the past year. So we did, when we had H1N1, the big thing with that, we recognized Gannett. We had all of the cluster of student suicides. We recognized the first responder folks. Last year, the year before, we recognized Cornell Police.
Yep.
There was a lot of stuff going on. So I think last year, we recognized Veterans Court.
We had bad winter.
We had bad winter. That really bad winter, we recognized Brown for all of their extra efforts. So it's kind of where we've gone with it.
Yeah.
In past, so it's not limited to groups. It can be an individual as well. We've just been looking at groups because no one else really recognized
schools.
Yep.
Gina.
I was just going to suggest, though the president's address is happening next week, it doesn't necessarily have to be coupled with that. If there's a group that the committee wants to, or the assembly wants to recognize, there are other ways to do that still within the calendar year, within your assembly's year. So don't let that opportunity pass by if you feel like there is somebody or a group that you want.
Any other questions for awards and recognition? Okay. So let me go over. I'm going to plug my own stuff into there.
I just got this toy.
All right. So next item we have is President's Address, and just looking at logistical assignments. So again, the President's Address next week, Tuesday. So the address itself will occur from 12 to noon, or 12 to noon, 12. it'll wrap up in itself, 12 to 1. And so I am still looking for some folks to help staff certain things. So let me just go over the event as a whole for everyone, and then we can talk about logistical assignments in that sense. So this year, we're focusing on shared governance and just kind of rolling out our new structure now that we've done this restructuring since the last president's address. And with Interim President Rawlings having served 3 years, we're going to ask him not necessarily to talk about like the state of the university, because that's not necessarily something he can talk about at length, but just his interactions with shared governance and how shared governance successes, failures, things of that nature. But let me go over a timeline for you, because I think that's a better way to look at this. So we will start with an introduction from Ulysses as to what our new structure looks like, so how our restructuring has happened, and then ways for staff members to get involved. Again, trying to put out an action-oriented kind of introduction, so staff members that are there, if they do want to get involved in things, figure out ways to get involved in shared governance, showing them, A, the representatives that are either in attendance or who they can contact with, and then any other committees that we have that folks can get involved with. So again, just showing there are things for you as a staff member to do if you have ideas, questions, concerns in your area. There's a place for you, there's someone that represents you and some kind of voice in that sense as well. We're doing that, again, intentionally to help introduce President Rawlings' remarks, and then leaving a lot of time, again, for Q&A. Have any of you seen President Rawlings do Q&A about, like, the state of the U or anything like that? Have you been to any of his events? Okay, so I'm seeing some head nods yes, some head nods no. I think he's been very good at just kind of answering a lot of questions, helping answer questions that folks have about, like, transitional items. So I think that'll be a really good opportunity for staff members to see the side of President Rawlings, whereas I've seen him at alumni events and at some other student events as well, and I think it'll be another good thing for staff members to kind of interact with him and ask about that. We will be taking live questions again and soliciting questions in advance. Those links will be on our publications. Hazel and I will be watching the live question stream as they come in and just kind of prompt as those come in from folks participating remotely as well too. So that is kind of the event as a whole, and then we'll close about 5 minutes to one, and then we'll let folks out, and hopefully, again, they'll be inspired by shared governance and ways to get involved with things, and kind of spread that good word. And free lunch, yeah. So we're looking at our lunch as well, too. Questions about the president's address from folks, and then I can go into staffing needs that we still have. Correct. We'll have it live streamed again. Yep.
And Carrie, who's online, I just got the URL for that, which we'll send around, and it'll be included in all of the promotional materials, but it will also have an ask a question feature for folks that aren't in the room that can ask a question to the moderators, which
yep.
will be Hazel and DJ.
All right. So... it's this upcoming Tuesday, October the 11th, and the event itself, noon to 1, but if we're staffing, I'm asking you to come a little bit earlier for things, just do a little bit of a briefing as well. Other questions about the event? Okay. So the web link.
So two different ways to submit questions. I'll send you both the URL, which will be a Qualtrics portal for folks to send in questions in advance, and then there'll also be the Ask a Question live on the Cornell Cast.
And then we will have mic runners, so if you're in the audience, you can just submit question, or you can ask a question in the audience as well. Linda? Okay. All right, so let's move into some of the logistics here. So... thanks for everyone that has already signed up. Looks like we're good with food and the mic runners. I am looking for folks, again, for the beginning of the program, just looking at welcome and greeters, so just folks being out front kind of in the lobby and just kind of ushering folks in, answering any questions they might have, and then in auditorium ushers, so helping folks find seats. What we might do this year, I'm thinking, is potentially taping up some of the back rows, just help kind of folks filter up front, and as it fills in, just kind of opening those back rows up. So the welcome and the greeters, I ask you arrive around like 11:20, just so we can get you oriented and just kind of have people in place. And same with the ushers as well, too. So just the ushers are there in place to help kind of guide folks in. So I'm looking for maybe 4 or 5 more people to be welcome greeters and ushers. Is anyone able to? Okay. Excellent. Do you have a preference, greeting or ushering?
Greeting.
Okay. Other folks, Jeremy, do you have a preference? Okay. I saw another hand over there. Yeah. Do you have a preference, greeting, ushering? Okay. Cool. And Pilar, I'll have you be in-house, Pilar. Okay. Anyone else available? Imani? Yep, I have you already. Imani, thank you. All right. So I think, yep, that just pretty much staffed us right up there. That's great. So I'll send out a little briefing for the folks that are signed up for things, and I'll do that at the end of the week as well, too. So you'll just get a overview, and I'll send out the full briefing to everyone as well, too, so you can get a sense of what that is.
Are we going to wear black pants, red shirt like we did, or anything red?
Good question. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, let's stick with...
Do the new people have shirts?
I don't think we have EA
so
polos or
what.
Yeah, so let's just go black and red on top. I like the sound of that. So, do we have name tags for everyone?
Yeah, that's why you don't forget your name tags.
Okay.
Yeah, so the new people don't have name tags.
New people don't have name tags. Let me... Would that be able to be turned around by then, or should we just have other? Yeah. I'll print those. Actually, the joys of working AAD, we can print out.
We can do that. You don't have to. I mean, if it's a, that's the kind of stuff we can do. We just need to know that that's what you want.
Okay. Let's go with that. We'll go with just the printed lanyard name tags.
Okay.
It'll have everyone there, too. All right. All right. Any other questions about the President's Address? Like I said, this is a big event for us. Last year we filled up Call Auditorium and had like 200-something, 300 people attending the live stream. So this is a bigger event. I think it'll be a little bit different this year since the President is returning. It's not a new President. But again, I think it's a similar attraction in that not very often do staff members get to just ask questions directly of our president at a time. So it's a great way for us to also be visible and say, here's something that we do. We're trying to connect administrators with the staff and advocate for staff as well.
Since we keep doing it every year, do we have any of those little triangle easel type things that we can put one on the sidewalk and one in the courtyard of Bailey, just with arrows to where the president's address is?
Nope, but it's something I can, I'll look into that. I will say, I mean, it was in call last year, and most of our materials will say call auditorium. So we'll look at that as well, too. Jeremy?
Just very tangential here. If I remember correctly, last year we also ran out of vegetarian meals. Something to consider for this year when we're looking at percentages.
Okay.
What about gluten-free meals?
We have the vouchers. We're going to try to confirm the dining today, tomorrow, and we have some vouchers that they can go and get for like a soup or something that wasn't. Well, hopefully a variety. Yeah, voucher for a variety. You'll get that today. Do you know the confirmation?
Cool. Other questions about the address? All right. Excellent. So, again, looking forward to that on Tuesday. Our chair is not here today. The only report I will say that we have is, again, I talked about we just met with the judicial administrator this morning, so it's a good update in that sense. Moving on to business of the day, which is going to be hard because we can't project these standing rules. I'm wondering if we should... No, it's the whole thing is just out, right? We can't necessarily project anything.
There's power strip inside this balloon.
Yeah. Okay. Has everyone, I guess, just a sense of here from last week? Has anyone been able to look more over the standing rules since our last meeting? It's okay if you have. Okay. So I heard a motion to table that for our next meeting from Hazel. Any opposition to that? Okay. So sadly, we'll have to wait till next week. I will ask, though, as we do table this for the next meeting, everyone please review those standing rules so then we won't take up a whole meeting just kind of reviewing more things and just kind of going over what corrections we'd like to make just so those are adopted.
And we did make some corrections.
Yes. Correct. So I would just like to get those approved and out the door there, too. Okay. So at this point, I just want to – I know Beth was going to come about 1:15, and I thought she would actually have to wait a little bit, but now that we can't go over standing rules, we have a little bit of time. Tanya.
Just a question if you have a few minutes before Beth gets here. Any update on our retreat?
Yes. So our retreat, again, we have – it's confirmed with Kathy, I just wanted to say Bergen. It's Berkren.
And everyone got the invite on their calendar? Yay.
Excellent.
No?
Right. We'll check in with that. So you should see a calendar invite for our retreat. So I think it's been on everyone's, it was sent out. So if you didn't receive one, it's for October the 27th. And so we are looking for a location, and so we'll have one. It won't be too far off-site, I think. Previous ones, we've been at the Plantations and the Nevins Welcome Center. We've also been at the Africana Center. So somewhere that's not necessarily, like, you know, in here, but
cheap.
Not too far. Oh, look at that.
For free.
Jeremy did something. Okay. All right, so maybe we can... I don't want to get too far into a discussion, though, if Beth comes in. But, yeah, so October the 27th, from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., and we'll provide breakfast and lunch for us there. Again, the main goal of this is to look at the strategic plan for the employee assembly, and... As Ulysses had mentioned before, the graduate students had created a strategic plan for themselves, and nothing really like that exists for staff members. And so it's a charge for us to potentially create, like, what we would like to see for staff members in terms of overall vision for staff at Cornell. And Kathy is really on board with helping us find what that is. And I think Mary Opperman is also kind of on board with helping us plan. So that's what we'll do that day. And so we're going to contact with Kathy if there's anything we need to do as individual staff members at a time to prepare for that. But folks that have done our EA retreats before, I know when I first started our EA retreat, kind of helped start a lot of this restructuring as we kind of reexamined what we were and what we wanted to do. So I think this could be another great opportunity for us to set what our vision is for staff members at Cornell moving forward as well. Are there questions about the retreat? We can add that, yeah, that's why I think that's why we had chosen the Africana Center before, because there had been parking out there.
People could go to the A-Lot and then go, so.
Both places are not three, and then the East Coast 5, I just want to make sure that my permit, I know what to do. You can park in A-Lot with the East Coast 5, that's correct. I just checked the training amount, Kathy checked through, but that's
cool.
Also at the Plantations at the Nevin Center are not free parking. So unless you park in the lot and take a bus to there, parking may be available, but you'd still have to pay for it.
places, the Park Mobile app is something that you could do, or you can get there by CCAP to both places.
Other questions on our retreat? Okay. With Beth coming in like 10 minutes, I don't know if we necessarily want to start a whole discussion about the standing rules. So I'm wondering if we can just break. Do the committee chairs have things that they want to meet with folks that they have? They can do that. But let's just take a short recess until Beth arrives as well, too. And I'll pull up some of the material that she had as well. But again, Beth McKinney will be discussing the CARE Fund. We'll pause this as we take a short recess. All right, everyone. So I'm going to call us back into order here, and I'd like to introduce Beth McKinney. Beth was also a former. Weren't you also on the EA before, or were you?
Yeah, sort of.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, I came to the meetings. I came to every meeting as a trustee. Thank you.
But yes, you're here to talk today. Give us a little update on the CARE Fund as well. So.
Great. So I'm Beth McKinney. I work in the wellness at Cornell Wellness, but I'm here representing the CARE Fund. And so the CARE Fund and the EA have ties that go back very many, many years because the Emergency Grant Fund stemmed and grew out of the EA. And so every so often I come and I give a report, and I have an agenda. I have 5 things. 15 minutes. Hopefully we can get some Q&A in there. And so first, for those people who aren't aware, the Emergency Care Fund is a fund that collects donations from employees mostly, and then gives the money to employees who have a very severe crisis. The text says the Emergency Care Fund is a program offering financial assistance to faculty and staff who have experienced a non-recurring or sudden emergency-related financial hardship. Employees have to fill out an application. There is a committee that reviews the applications. There is a very objective list of criteria that they have to meet. It's all on the website. And then they would get anywhere between $200 and $1,500 put into their paycheck. And so the fund is very active. And just to give you a sense, last year, calendar year 2016, we gave out $21,000 worth of grants. And this year, and it's not even over, we've given out $19,000 worth of grants. And I'm no longer on the committee that reads the applications because it's rough to read those. It's very hard to be objective, and there are people who have major, major hardships who work here. And so this is a good thing that we're doing. And so the fund is flush right now. We have more money than we're giving out, but not for long. We try to raise about $2,500 a year, which we always fail at, because as you can see, we're giving out 19 and 21. And the ways that we do that are through a fundraising committee. So the structure of the CARE Fund right now is that there are 2 committees, and I am going to ask for some volunteers. If I know people are already volunteering for other committees, but even if you know somebody. The 2 committees are the committee that looks at the applications. And we require, and it's on our website, but we have a list of who makes up the committee. It's someone from Human Resources. It's someone from Labor Relations, or whatever it's now called. There's somebody at large. There's someone from EA. And right now, we're looking for someone from EA. And so if there is somebody from the EA committee who wants to look at applications, I can talk to you more about that. But the applications will have 1 a month, maybe 2 a month, maybe more, maybe less. But it's something where the committee meets by email. They discuss the criteria. You get oriented. Lindsay Prignon is the chair of the committee that reads the applications. FSAP is involved as well. And so without wasting a lot of time describing it, we are looking for someone from the EA who'd be interested in participating. We do have a meeting once a year just so we can see each other face to face. But other than that, most of it's conducted by email. So that's one committee. Any questions? The other committee is a fundraising committee. We split off into two committees because it was too much for one committee to do. And so the fundraising committee is made up of a whole group of other volunteers who are interested in helping. And I'm the chair of the fundraising committee, and I need volunteers as well. So if you know somebody or if you are interested in participating, we meet several times a year, but here are the things that we do. We solicit auction items and run an auction, which is going to happen in November. We collect money at the Red and White game, which is the preseason hockey game. It's a free game, so they always collect for a charity. That's us. That's been for the past 5 or 6 years. The campus store tomorrow is helping us. They are making a donation every time someone spends $50. It's Employee Appreciation Day down there. And we will also have tables, so we'll be tabling as well. We have some potential things happening. We just ran out of energy. We have payroll deduction forms. We're hoping that we can have a donate a dollar a paycheck kind of campaign. And if anybody wants to, I have the forms here. And the last thing is, just for fun, I met with ACAC. ACAC is the acapella groups that put on Acapella United, and they are potentially interested in doing an Acapella Cares concert. So if anyone is interested in that committee, I am seeking volunteers who are willing to do some legwork one way or another. Question
for you.
Yeah.
In regards to the payroll deduction, can you do that through Workday, or do you have to do a form for that, or those things?
Workday is not set up to sign yourself up for payroll deduction. You have to send a hard copy to payroll services. Mm-hmm. They were set up, but then... Is it?
Can I
contact you, Tanya?
Yeah.
When Workday started, it was way too much for Workday to handle, this tiny little one-off. So thank you. Any other questions? Yeah, no. We're not going to have a table there.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. No, we did, and we found that it wasn't effective. Yeah.
Put some material.
Yeah.
In the last year, or we had signage for like things you could sign up for, things to get involved with as people were walking out. So that might be something we could. Doing what?
We don't have a meeting before then.
Yeah, I was
going to
say. I'm not sure. So what is Employee Day?
So.
I was like, I just know it's a staff development day, so I'm like, employee celebration.
Saturday, like you get that good. Like, you get
Okay.
Let's loop back on that. I know Beth has a limited amount of time, so I'd like to keep her.
Is
that something you can just take donations with?
I will be there.
I can talk to you about that afterwards. I just want to make sure you have your time.
Okay. And
I just had a quick question. Maybe it is an offline conversation. Talking about, it seems the trying to get this funded is piecemeal. What conversations could take place administratively to get local funding that comes in, ticket sales from the employee celebration day, I mean, or a portion thereof, so that it's an event that can be billed as a big employee celebration. Part of the funding, part of the ticket income is going to go to support this thing. It seems like, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's little things happening, but how do
that's a great idea. Cheryl McGraw, that's a great idea. Even if we charge $1 extra and 700 people come, that's $700. That's half a grand. Yeah. That's beautiful. Okay. Thank you. This is how it happens. People have ideas. The last thing that I want to say on my agenda is that the auction is, I forgot to bring my auction, and it's not up there. So the auction is the first week in November, and it's an online auction, and it's going to come through the Career Life email, so don't worry, you will get the link to participate. But if any of you have something you, a colleague, or a department can donate, we're looking for interesting things. I just secured an a cappella concert by last call for you at your desk. I think people would pay for that. And a tour of the clean room at the NSF. That was the one I just got that 5 minutes ago. So if you've got something interesting and creative, let me know, and we'll put it up for auction.
The article is being sponsored from last time, so.
Yeah, we try to push it out. If the auction's going to do well, we just need more items. Anything anybody want to add or ask?
I had a question about, do you talk at all with the United Way folks just to make sure that there's no cross, like, campaign going on at the same time? Because I know the United Way donation letter is going to go out really soon.
Yes.
And then that whole process will be started.
Last year we met with the United Way people because we do our big thing always in October, November. And the United Way, but we were going to have another event in the spring, and they were okay with that. So I think it's okay. But we definitely don't want to step on any toes, and the CARE Fund is not a United Way, part of the United Way.
Right, I don't think it's definitely an episode, but I think it might. And it might just confuse some people if I hear about them back to back, like, what's the difference, what's going on, why am I being asked to donate
right.
to this, and then being asked to donate.
Okay, can I send that to you, BJ? And then if anyone else can do that, you know, that would be fantastic. Yeah.
My comments were kind of expanded on what she was saying, being that this is a fund for staff and we are the employee assembly. I feel like we should, once the work day team is established, we can have that running through the year with the newsletters we send out. And I think it's easy when you just click here, dollar, paycheck is an easy consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Click on and think about and have like an option, just a little paragraph explaining what that is.
Liz, is that something that you want to look at in terms of the, since we have a regular communication,
mm-hmm.
like a footer or something like that,
mm-hmm.
just says CARE Fund, click here
that
for information?
Yeah,
and the reason why this fund used to be part of the EA, it used to be a committee.
Yep.
And I think maybe some people in this room were part of that committee. But the reason why it is its own is because the EA doesn't run programs.
Yep.
The EA does other work.
Yep.
And so we accept all and any support from the EA because it is for employees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Suzanne and then Matt.
Yes.
Yeah. Matt?
Are donations to the fund considered gifts to Cornell, and are they tax deductible?
Yes, they are. And we have a gift account that goes through AA and D. And the only thing is they don't send a letter as if it's a gift to Cornell. So what we tell them is your canceled check is your tax deduction.
I've been on both several times. Some of the, like she said, some of the employees, you wouldn't believe what they suffer from. It is very hard to keep an open mind, but if you really stick to what the outline is and who qualifies for what, that's what you have to do. You know, you feel like a, I don't know what, saying, no, I don't think that qualifies for what we do. But you've got other committee members that support you. So, and the auction is just a plain riot. You're getting stuff, you're getting donations, and watching the money climb on the auction day and stuff. It's just, the people in that group are so high energy. It's unbelievable.
Except I think you got the vacuum cleaner, and I wanted it. I don't know who got that vacuum cleaner.
Did your auction accept PayPal?
No. it's a bunch of volunteers. If someone has the expertise to do that, that's great. But what happens is, if you're the winner, you have to bring a check and go pick up your item somewhere on campus, probably Olin Hall or someplace central.
We had a bench last year, and they fought like crazy for that bench.
Yeah.
That's another question over here.
Just wanted to say, I heard back from Karen. Yes, it is possible. We should talk to Phil. So you and I can
okay. Wow.
Your work day, so wow.
Your work day.
Well, that's
cool.
Wow.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Other questions for Beth? Okay, making things happen.
Yeah, the one thing that we really do need is a person who's interested in being on the applications committee. So if I don't hear from anyone in the next few days, I will contact you and just let you know.
One of the things, and I'll connect with you as well, we have a slideshow that runs before the president's address, so maybe one of the photo slides can be that and just kind of intersperse that.
Yes.
So.
That I'll remain on it until you get a replacement. Mm-hmm. I'm still on it.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Right. Any other questions for Beth at all, or questions about the CARE Fund?
If I do have a can, who should I talk to? Okay. Got it. Great. Thank you.
Cool. All right. Thank you again, Beth. Love hearing about the CARE Fund and all the updates there. Again, for those of you that aren't aware, the auction is pretty cool. I see all kinds of cool things on it. So big supporter of that. If there aren't any other items that we have, we've exhausted our agenda for today. So is there a motion to adjourn? All right. Second. All right, thank you. So we've adjourned. Thanks, everyone. Like a whirlwind in there.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.